I mean, still, you never know how what type of adjustments they're going to make after we just played them at the last game of the season and two times in the last week, 2 weeks of the season. So you want to see how they approach the game, but at the same time, you don't want to ease into anything and use this as a feel-out game. I think you try to go out there and win, all of us, you know what I'm saying? But I think both teams got a feel for each for their opponent, and we'll see who makes the most adjustments and who just plays better next game. Sometimes it's just playing harder and making shots, and that'll be your adjustment, you know? So, yeah, you can say it's a fill-out game, but we still try to go out there and win. That don't mean we came out there and laid down.
It's Kevin Durant, Saturday after Game 1 loss. Not just a loss, a 25-point loss by the Phoenix Suns to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And if that was a feel-out game, the Suns got felt. They got felt a lot.
Yeah.
And they probably felt the impact of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I did a little research, Bic.
Uh-oh.
25-point losses in Game 1s of best-of-seven NBA playoff series. It's the 57th time in the history of the NBA a team has lost a game one of a best of seven by 25 or more points.
All right.
In the previous 56 times that's happened, The record of the team that lost game one by 25 or more is 8-48 in those series.
That's not good.
That's not good at all.
Wow.
In fact, you lose game one in a best of seven. Just historically speaking, and I realize I can frame these numbers to say whatever I want them to, but this is the idea I had in my head, and these are the results. Teams are more likely to be swept than to come back and win. Sweeps have happened 10 times. Again, teams have come back and won 8 times.
Wow.
And okay. It hasn't happened since 2018. Cleveland lost game one to Boston by 25 points and won the series in 7 games.
Okay, there are obviously exceptions. A couple that come to mind is the Boston Celtics beating the Lakers 148-114 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals.
Was that the Memorial Day Massacre, right?
That was Memorial Day Massacre. Then the Lakers ended up winning that series in 6 games.
Yes.
Then our buddy Dan Monson. Who? Columnist in Salt Lake City. Gordon. Dan Monson's a basketball coach.
Yes.
Gordon Monson.
Who?
Double. Who? He's the guy that's writing about hockey now in Salt Lake City. Yeah, exactly. After the Utah Jazz beat the Bulls in game one, he infamously wrote a 1-sentence lead to his column the next morning. It's over, period. I really, in real time, remember laughing out loud.
But not in defense of Gordon Monson, because obviously that turned out to be way wrong.
But Gordon probably was looking at the same stats you just flashed.
But there is that overreaction. And I think I can't speak for other markets. I think the overreaction to this Phoenix Suns, this iteration of the Phoenix Suns, we'll call this year 4 of this playoff run, even though the players are all different. The overreaction to wins and losses by Suns Nation, if you will, is immense.
The morning show on ESPN, the Laker obsessing, let's act like we're all part of the coolest club on the planet morning show. This morning they did that. After a game one loss to the Nuggets, they're talking about blowing up the Lakers and what they're going to do. Can we stop with that, please? Can we stop with dismantling a basketball team after one game of a playoff series? So I see what you're saying. And look, you can make the stats say what you want, and there's clearly a cautionary tale in those stats. But you have to ask yourself, what about those stats apply to what we saw in game one? And it's a very legitimate question, because I think what you said to start the show was really right on the money. That is, if you had heard all year long as a Suns fan that the Timberwolves were a great defensive team, the best in the NBA, you would have laughed. You'd have said, no, they're not. They're a joke. Not on Saturday, they weren't. No. That looked like a really good, connected, physical, defensive team that made the Suns kind of shrivel in their presence. Now the Suns have to respond. How do they respond? Well, you can make shots. You can move the ball a little better, right?
You can count. Look, and again, this is the first time I'm going to say it this postseason. Every game's a snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've said it. They're all different. The reaction is what we saw on Saturday is going to be par for the course. It's not. And I walked away. Look, I was very discouraged with what I saw. I think that was a terrible game one performance by the Suns. But Can I think we saw the best version of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I saw we saw peak Timberwolves on Saturday and about bottom of the barrel Suns, and it was a 25 point.
Then
spread.
You should feel better about it, right?
You should.
Yeah,
you should.
Okay.
Because I don't think Devin Booker's going to play that poorly again.
I hope.
And Book talked after the game about trying to find his rhythm.
You know, we all just need to adjust to, you know, the playoff physicality. They being ultra physical with me, and then I had three early fouls to the bench. So, you know, just trying to find a reading here.
Now, some people took some exception with that. His three early fouls and then went to the bench. I think his third foul happened with 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. So it wasn't like he was on the bench for a prolonged period of time. Maybe that disrupted his flow. I don't know. I think Minnesota's defense disrupted it more than anything else. One of the five field goals that Devin Booker made was about the toughest shot he's made in his career. That baseline reverse layup high off the glass, and he lunged and fell to the ground over Rudy Gobert. That went in. But it was a struggle all day for Kevin Durant.
Devin
Booker.
He only had three field goals through three quarters, right? Two of those were in the end of the game where it really didn't matter.
Here's what disappoints me. In the first quarter, the Suns looked like they read the game properly, that they said, okay, these refs are letting us do anything we want, and for a little while, it seemed like they vibed on it. Bradley Beal just jumped in front of Anthony Edwards in the lane and just took the ball from him. It was a great defensive play. Devin Booker, on two successive possessions, used his left forearm to literally create space, and there was no whistle called because Devin Booker properly read, I can get away with this. And I thought, okay, this is what you need to do. And then they stopped liking it. And that, to me, is the big question. After the game was over, Kevin Durant said the words, the refs are letting us play, and that's exactly what we want. Do you? Are you being honest? Is that what this team really wants? Because some teams don't like that stuff. And the Suns have to prove they do.
Yeah, I mean, because if you look at it from a personnel standpoint, who on the Suns, you know, they might like it on offense. They might not. But who on the Suns can really assert themselves with physicality on defense?
That's a great question.
I mean, Bradley Beal has at times. Grayson Allen has at times. Nurkic, obviously, is the front runner there. But I wouldn't exactly call the Suns a rugged, even when they play good defense, it's not rugged, physical defense.
And certainly they don't have size, not like the Timberwolves have size.
No, few teams have size like that.
Right. So now you're dealing with some things that you got to get up and over. So again, it's really going to come down to what's in between the ears of this basketball team. How bad do you want it?
Yeah, and another team, you know, how bad do you want it? That can describe the rebounding differential, too. That was the second biggest negative rebounding differential in Suns playoff history. You get out-rebounded by that margin.
Wow.
It's really, really hard to come back from that. They get out-rebounded
52-28. That's
24
brutal.
Rebound differential.
That's almost bad. Doubled up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So a lot to work on for the Suns, but we want to get your thoughts on it as well. We're going to open up the phone lines for a little open phone action here at 602-260-9870. Are you of the belief that the Suns are done? Are you of the belief, hey, it's just one game, make some adjustments and move on? Love to hear your thoughts during some phone time next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey everybody, it's Bernsey, and the Suns could not contain Anthony Edwards in Game 1, and now Phoenix has some work to do if they're going to get back in this series. We'll give you all the big takeaways from the Game 1 loss, starting at straight up 2 o'clock on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, 120-95, the final on Saturday in Game 1. Minnesota leads that series. Game 2 tomorrow, an extra day of rest. They're the only series, Suns and T-Wolves, that started on Saturday that does not resume tonight. The other three are in action tonight, so we'll see if that benefits the Suns. Opened up the phone lines at 602-260-9870 to get your thoughts on Game 1 and what lies ahead for the Phoenix Suns. Let's start in Mesa this morning, and we'll talk to Steve up first here on Bickley and Marotta
Mornings. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I'm kind of frustrated, obviously. I'm a very emotional fan. My friends on Facebook love to see my posts and hate to see my posts. But Devin Booker and his performance, you know, go back to Game 6 of the Finals, 8-22. Go back to Game 6 versus the Mavericks. That blowout was, 12 points or 11 points last year. Same thing against Denver, Game 6. I know it's not Game 6, but it's just, it's like these teams know, get into Booker and the Suns, they go with Booker, and man, it just seems he doesn't show up in some of those games, or it just doesn't have it.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, Steve, appreciate the phone call. That's one of the top list items for Suns fans right now.
Yeah.
And it was going in, is the criticism of Devin Booker and how he conducted himself late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
The I'm chilling quote.
Yep.
The playoff history. And Devin Booker's playoff history to me is a complicated one. Because go back to last year. People will point at Game 6. People don't point at the fact that the Denver Nuggets were a far better team than the Phoenix Suns last year. They'll point at Devin Booker having another bad game in facing elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he might have been the playoff MVP.
Yeah,
he was spectacular to that point.
Yeah, he was. But I think it's the more the pressure ratchets up, the that's when I think the question becomes even more complicated. I think that's a really good word for it. Yes. Complicated.
So I would certainly put, it's not a do or die game tomorrow night. It would be nice to come back with a split.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they don't do that, game three on Friday night, that's the pressure situation. We'll keep it going on the phones out to Gilbert. Cody's up next here on Arizona Sports. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, guys, and Sarah, love y'all. You're the best. Look, if anyone thought this team was going 16-0 to win the championship, they weren't watching the Phoenix Suns. You're going to lose games in the playoffs. Do I think they're going to win it all? No. Do I think they're going to beat the Timberwolves? Yes. Do I think the Timberwolves can play better than they played? No, that was their best shot.
I agree with you.
It full stop. Booker was bad. He really was. And he didn't find a rhythm. Clearly, their defense is geared towards that. So, to me, you got two adjustments. You either put the ball with Beal more and do even more of the screening, because if Ant's going to guard him, Ant does not do well on screens. So, do screens with KD, do screens with Nurk. Try to get going downhill, or you do something different to try to get Booker going. And it can be one or the other. It doesn't have to be both. I still think they're going to win. Love your guys' show.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Cody. It's all about adjustments. That's that's what this is about. Kevin Durant talked about it after the game. Hey, we didn't know what adjustments Minnesota would make, and they made some tactical adjustments. They made some attitude adjustments. I don't know if you read the story on The Athletic about Mike Conley, who's like the silent leader of Minnesota, standing up in a team meeting after that beatdown they got in the regular season finale. And he was basically like, do it for me. I don't have that much time left in this league. Let's step up and win for me.
I know. I did read that. And it was like, look, if you guys aren't motivated, do it for me. it's a very interesting tactic.
And it seemed to work.
Yeah.
It's at least for game one.
Yeah.
Let's go out to Chandler and talk to Hayden up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Good morning, Hayden.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to say, I think the Suns are going to be all right. The thing that was alarming to me was the rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
They had 28, and the Timberwolves had, I think they had 52.
Yeah.
That's alarming. Another thing that's really alarming to me is the Grayson Allen injury. I'm hoping he can come back from that, and it's not too bad. I think the x-rays were negative yesterday. If he can't, I really would like to see Eric Gordon kind of step up and be more of a presence, because he really wasn't doing much yesterday other than a couple of rebounds and a block. But I think the Suns will be all right. I think it's an overreaction to say that they're done. I've seen a lot of that on Twitter, and obviously you got to stay off of that because people don't know what they're talking about on there. But I love your guys' show. Have a good one.
Thanks, Hayden. Yeah, the Eric Gordon thing. Eric Gordon is one of those players that will let you know pretty quickly on how it's going to go for him.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
And he came in, and the very first play he was involved in was an out-of-bounds play, and Minnesota had a massive breakdown defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Durant found Eric Gordon completely under the hoop all by himself. And he was startled, almost didn't catch the ball.
Almost then, tripped over his own feet.
And missed a point, missed the easiest shot the Suns got all game.
Right. Fell back, tripped over his feet a little bit, fell backwards and threw up a little real awkward shot that should have been a layup. And yeah. I agree. Yeah. I was like, okay.
And that's the, you're like, oh, that's how it's going to go for EG today.
Right. That's Eric.
And that's how
right.
it went.
Yeah, that used to be my move when I used to play basketball.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that is something I can
feet,
imagine
throw
for
up
you.
A thing, yeah, miss
right.
a shot.
Right, exactly.
Caused you to start your illustrious track and field career.
Uh-huh.
Let's go on to Tempe. George is up next here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Hey, George.
Hey, you know, when I played basketball, I was more like a defensive specialist, but my range was about 3 feet, but I still didn't miss layups. And what did we miss, 14 layups yesterday?
14 layups.
Seven in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. This is, you know, if anybody, I think one of the early callers said, if anybody's been paying attention, the Suns do lose games. And they tend to come back pretty strong again after, you know, a beatdown like this. But I'm concerned that they're only going to be like an every other game kind of team. But I am really, really, really starting to get, I won't say sick of Devin Booker because I love him, but I just don't think he's legendary. I just don't think he's that guy. And, you know, we're going to have somebody step up if it's going to be Beal or if it's going to be Durant with a good solid, you know, series from Booker. But I just drives me crazy when they get into this ISO ball nonsense. You know, they get away from everything that's working and they start this ISO 101 nonsense that does, they don't move the ball. They don't rebound. And
yeah,
if you look at the rotation, I mean, it was working the last 10 games. Where's Bol Bol? Where are the guys that are doing stuff? And if Eric Gordon gets off the bench again, I might have to fly to Minneapolis and tackle him.
Yeah, George brings up a couple good points.
The Bol Bol thing is interesting to me.
Bol Bol and Thaddeus Young, and this was circulating on social media over the weekend too. When you get bludgeoned on the boards the way the Suns did,
mm-hmm.
minus 24 on the boards, and you got two guys with size and Young and Bol who can create a bit of an issue, but also have very high rebounding rates,
mm-hmm.
Defensive rebounding rates. Do you roll the dice on those guys? It's not like Bol Bol hasn't played rotation minutes this year. And I'm real curious. Frank Vogel was asked on the Eric Gordon front, hey, do his struggles lead to personnel changes? And I don't know how much leeway Vogel will have if Grayson Allen can't go.
Yeah.
If Grayson Allen was healthy, I could see Josh Okogie getting rotation minutes because he's one of those hustle, passionate defender guys.
Yeah, exactly. The kind of guy that, yes, right. And I think what you're saying underscores one of the issues that probably Frank Vogel has struggled with as well. And that is exactly what kind of team am I building here? Am I building a team that is just going to be finesse and elite on offense? Mm-hmm. Or do I need some dogs in there? And and there's two different ways you can look at it.
Yep. Thanks for the phone calls. Yep. Appreciate the insight there. You can embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily this week in the 8 o'clock hour, the noon hour, and 3 o'clock hour to snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word. When you hear that word, text it to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets again. Your chances today and every day coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, noon hour, and 3 o'clock hour. Coming up next, Sarah Cazell will take us through the big stories of this Monday morning in the Rush Hour reboot here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on Bickley and Marotta Mornings for the Rush Hour Reboot. We get you caught up on everything you need to know in Valley sports that happened over the weekend. So let's jump in with those top stories. I'm Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hey!
With Vince Marotta.
I don't like the media.
Oh, that guy.
Hello, Alex Mirduello and Jarrett Carlin.
It's internal.
Ha! More of that at 8:30.
The return of Al.
Yes. Oh, cannot wait for that. Cannot wait. All right. We're going to get to the Suns in a second. We've been talking Suns the last couple of segments and will in the next. So let's just start with the Diamondbacks, get the baseball in after the day that they had yesterday. They beat the Giants on the road 5-3 to finish that series with a split. The day started off with pretty rough news for the D-backs. Shoulder discomfort for Merrill Kelly. So he was scratched from his start. Wade Siccone found out yesterday morning that he would be starting. He was flown in Saturday night, but didn't get tabbed until Sunday morning for the start. A very steady outing for him. Six innings, two runs on two hits, no walks, three strikeouts. Gabby Moreno also helped the D-backs pull ahead in the sixth with a two-run single, and the D-backs stayed on top the rest of the way.
2-2. Swung on and shot up the middle, a base hit. Peterson scores. Suarez rounding third as the throw to the plate is not in time. A two-run single by Moreno, and the Diamondbacks back in front 3-2.
That is Chris Gargiola on the call for Arizona Sports. Moreno had two hits on the day. He is the only Diamondback who had multiple hits. Torey Lovello was very proud of how his team pulled together yesterday. Here he is after the win.
He's an unbelievable competitor. There's a certain level of quirkiness that we all know when we're talking to Slade, but he knows how to go out there and execute, and he can slow down when he needs to. And I'm sure there was a ton of nervous energy walking into this clubhouse, wondering if he was going to be starting or, you know, what the scenario was. But he slowed it down, and I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of this team. Like, they did a lot today to win a baseball game.
All right, the Diamondbacks have been smacked by injury after injury already this season. But let's focus on Merrill Kelly right now. How nervous are you guys about this shoulder situation?
I'm nervous just because of who he is and what he means, and I don't know if this team could sustain another injury. That's not a reflection of any evidence. Like I said, the fact that it's a shoulder injury, okay. I don't know. It's not ideal. I'll put it that way. And I'm trying to just vibe on the way the team responded yesterday, because that was a sturdy emotional display from a team that might have just, you know, endured another kind of crushing blow.
Yeah.
A little bit freaked, yeah, if I'm going to be honest.
Shoulder makes me nervous, you know, when you're dealing with a lat or an oblique, whatever the hell those things are.
Yeah, right.
But when it's shoulder, forearm, elbow, with a pitcher, you have to brace for it, especially in this era of caution for pitchers. I hope it's nothing, because I feel exactly like Bickley does. You can't withstand a long-term injury to either one of those guys.
No.
And stay relevant in the National League West, especially with all the other injuries that are piling up. So it's been rough so far, but we'll cross our fingers for Merrill Kelly.
Yeah, and to get more specific, shoulder injury, Torey Lovello said it was the teres major, which, as we all know, it's a thick but flattened rectangular muscle that extends from the inferior posterior scapula to the medial lip of the intertubercular groove of the humerus.
Man, right off the top of your head, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, studied hard. So now we all know exactly what's happening with Merrill Kelly.
Yes.
All right, let's get to the Suns. They lost to the T-Wolves by 25 on Saturday in game one of their playoff series. Lots of panic on social media from Suns fans. A lot of, we're going to get swept on social media. Devin Booker said post-game, please, there is no need to panic after one game.
Yeah, as far as the series, I have been in, you know, a few of these. And you know, it's an emotional roller coaster for a lot of people. I think the team that can stay solid, not get too high, not get too low, and just, you know, stick to the task.
All right, similar vibe from Kevin Durant. Here he is.
We understand who we are as individuals. We've been in tight games before. We came back from being down big and been up big before. You know, we've been in every situation thus far, and I know it's the playoffs, and I know, you know, it's a new season, but we've been around each other all season, so it's not like anything's new when we step on the floor. You know, we just got to revert back to the stuff that we did throughout the whole season that helped us be successful and move on.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, guys, how close are you to the Suns are going to get swept panic that's happening on social media?
Zero.
I'm at zero too.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. Now, if they're not competitive in game two, I still wouldn't be there. It's not until losing game three is the only time that's going to kick in for me. The idea that they're going to be swept.
You know, the playoff series doesn't start until the road team wins a game, Vic.
That's what they always say, Vinny. Oh,
they do say that.
I will say this. In watching the game on Saturday, I was listening to all of the howling going on, and I was watching the whiteout, and I said, oh, I'm going to have some fun with this in print. And then I went on Twitter, and Kellen had already tweeted it.
Oh.
Stole my good stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the exact same sound effect.
It was, yeah. and as Kellen pointed, just too soon for that.
Rude, yeah, honestly.
And everyone knows.
Both organizations downloaded that same MP3
yes, from they're different animals. Yes.
They're different animals. There are people in the Coyotes or Timberwolf animalophilia. What do they call them?
The group genus? Of
genus.
Species?
Species that are absolutely insulted that they're using the same sound effect for both animals.
And those people have been really vocal about it.
I know.
They sound like... Arr! Okay. The NBA put out its finalists yesterday for its year-end awards. There are seven awards with three finalists each. Those awards are MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, Most Improved Player of the Year, Clutch Player of the Year, and Coach of the Year. There are no Phoenix Suns to be found among these finalists. Do you think any Suns should have been a finalist for any of these awards?
No.
No.
In a word, no.
No, I don't think there's any, and I don't think you're going to find any element of the fan base starting to get worked up over that. The season's just been too up and down. There's nothing award-winning about this, any way, shape, or form.
Ooh, if you were to give the Suns an award...
Well, you might, you know, again, if you're gonna get down into the minutiae of comeback, not comeback player, most improved player, maybe Grayson Allen gets in that discussion. But there's people who are probably ranked way ahead of him as
there
well.
There are the three finalists. You know, Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat that.
Right.
Surprise player of the year, Grayson Allen.
Yeah. I mean, if there was an award, create the award. Surprise player of the year might be Grayson Allen.
Sorry, we talked mad blank about you before you got here, award.
It's weird, too, that the feelings people have about Grayson Allen right now is like, man, I hope he's not hurt, but he sucked on Saturday.
Yeah, not good.
There was that one possession that kind of summed it up. We summed up the Eric Gordon experience. The one possession for Grayson Allen that summed it up was when he kept feeding Kevin Durant in the post and Durant kept kicking it back out and he kept passing up shots. It was like that scene from Semi-Pro with Jackie Moon. Right back at you. Right back at you.
And that was a little ridiculous.
Allen shot it and he shot an air ball.
Shot off the... Yeah, that's right. I thought maybe
it grazed
the back end of the... No, you're right. That was embarrassing. I forgot about that sequence.
Yeah.
That's
rough.
No, you take it. No, you take it. No, you take it. No, after me. No, after you.
So Ryan's basically saying, would you shoot the ball, Grayson?
Thank you, Sarah.
Reboot and Rush Hour Reboot every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, more Suns Timberwolves talk. We will go to Minneapolis, not literally. Kellen Olsen is there. He'll join us to talk the series straight ahead here on Bickley Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Luke. After getting run off the floor by Minnesota in Game 1, how can the Suns match the T-Wolves' desperation and even the series in Game 2? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, Suns trying to recover and regroup after a 25-point loss in Game 1 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Game 2 tomorrow night at Target Center. Joining us from Minneapolis, our Suns insider, Kellen Olsen, who covers the team for ArizonaSports.com, is our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. K.O., good morning to you, sir.
Kellen!
Morning, guys. Hello.
Free time in Minnesota. The team got an extra day. That means you got an extra day, too. How's the Twin Cities treating you?
Great. Went to Target Field yesterday. One of my favorite ballparks I've ever been to. Actually went like 2 summers ago. Got to see ASU Sun Devil Vinny Spencer Torkelson bat in a couple of runs for the Tigers in a W. How about that?
Wow, he hasn't done that much this year, so that's a good thing.
All right, well, that's good. So let's hope the day off, the Suns were able to kind of reset and refocus. Here's the first question I want to ask you. For the first quarter, it looked like the Suns were into this new physicality that's going to be part of their postseason diet. Then it didn't seem like they wanted much of it. How much of an issue is this, the physicality of the postseason, when it meets a team that would much rather finesse you to death?
Yeah, I thought they handled it pretty well. I just thought that a couple parts of the game got away from them, and then that's when things started to sort of spiral, and it just blew up from there. They let Anthony Edwards hit 2 or 3 shots in the mid-range, and look, Anthony Edwards is not that great of a shooter from the mid-range. If there's anywhere you want him to take shots, that's where. But then he got cooking, the crowd got alive, and then he hit a couple of threes, and the game was basically over. I think that the Suns just have a couple of smaller things that they need to do better. And if they do those things better, they can absolutely beat this Timberwolves team. I think that Minnesota played really, really well. And the Suns were absolutely ready for that because Minnesota did not play well at all in any of those three regular season meetings. This was the Minnesota team I think we were more or less expecting for the Suns to see, and not only in those games, but in this game specifically. And the Suns need to take a little bit care, better care of the ball. They need to rebound much better, which I didn't see. I don't know what you guys saw, but maybe that's the physicality part. But yeah, the offensive rebounding, I think, was just more attention to detail. But again, that goes back to all of our conversations on the show the last 4 months. Like, are they going to be able to really, those definitive fine details that swing games like this, can they handle those? Like, second chance points was really the only thing that really buried them in that game, but they're going to need to find a way to eliminate those small things if they're going to win these games.
When you look at the things that went against the Suns or didn't go well for them, you mentioned rebounding, taking care of the basketball. We talked earlier about the number of missed layups. They were 11 for 25 near the rim. That's not acceptable. The physicality. What of those things was the most alarming to you in game one, Kellen?
I think it was the misses around the rim, just because all of those things. I know turnovers, we're just supposed to expect the Suns to turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're just not going to get benefits from it. But they generated a lot of turnovers against Minnesota. They had, I believe off the top of my head, 21 points off turnovers, and it might have been more than that. Like, that's something that should be a definitive advantage for you when you create that many. But they turned the ball over enough and gave Minnesota enough points off turnovers that it was kind of just like a trade-off.
Yeah.
But the misses around the rim, I think it was 44% is what they shot around the rim, uh-huh, and Minnesota shot 70. And that's just too stark of a difference. And I think watching the game, a lot of Suns fans listening will agree, yes, Rudy Gobert was around there some, but they were just smoking a few layups that they should never miss. And I think if you take a couple of those, you take a couple of the offensive rebounds, they're back on track. And I think that coming into tonight, they're definitely not going to shoot below 50% from the rim. I think that's just one of those once a game in a series kind of occurrences. It's going to happen, but they can lose the games in this kind of a situation. That's what it did.
All right, so Devin Booker obviously has to be better than he was in game one, and a lot of credit goes to the perimeter defense of Jaden McDaniels and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. There's no doubt about that. What adjustments do you make if you're the Suns to free up Book? What has to give in that, in terms of that scenario?
Well, there's the balance of where to give him the ball exactly, and something I was curious about was just seeing how much he was going to bring the ball up. Bradley Beal has not more or less been the point guard, but it's been a trade-off between the two of them, and it's kind of dependent on the situation where which guy is bringing the ball up and which guy is initiating the offense. And it was far more of a balance between Booker and Beal than I expected, to be honest. And maybe some of that had to do with the fact that Jaden McDaniels was picking up Book full court, and that was an exhausting assignment this early in the series. But with that being said, they got to figure out where to get him the ball that gets him the most space. Off the ball was more of the priority in game one, I would say, and that didn't necessarily do its job. Then again, if he's bringing the ball up more in game two, is that going to lead to more turnovers for him? It's a really fine balance, and I think the thing that you're referencing here, Dan, and the point that we're getting to is Jaden McDaniels is going to make an all-defense team. He was fantastic in that game, and then Nickeil Alexander-Walker was bouncing between him and Brad. He did a fantastic job as well. But this is Devin Booker we're talking about, who's a top 10 player in the league, who was first team All-NBA 2 years ago, would have been it again last year if it wasn't for injuries. And he needs to rise above that, and I think that he will on Tuesday. But it's that type of performance from him where the type of defensive coverage shouldn't matter. And that's the type of thing that you have players like him for. So I'm really curious to see how he especially takes on the challenge, just knowing what they did to him, what he saw on film, and where he can attack it and be better.
Kellen Olsen, our Suns insider, checking in with us from Minneapolis here on the Arizona Sports Line. The Grayson Allen injury, the x-rays were negative. We know he has a sprain, so if he plays, he's going to be marginalized at this point. That injury did not look good. What do you do if you're Frank Vogel in handling Grayson Allen? If he can go, if he can't go, what types of adjustments do you see personnel-wise there, Kellen?
Yeah, keep an eye out on your Twitter feeds around like 10:30, 11 local time. That's when we'll be getting into practice and talking to Frank Vogel and talking to a few players and seeing if there are any updates on Grayson's status for Tuesday. Man, if he can't play, they are in trouble, because Grayson, just the spacing alone that they would, the trade-off of spacing that they would go from, even if someone like Eric Gordon plays, for example, this is a rough series for Eric Gordon in particular, because we saw him try to drive the ball on Mike Conley a lot. It was not happening. We saw him on defense on the perimeter, and I think that there's only really one Minnesota player you're okay with Mike, with Eric Gordon guarding, and then other than that, it's going to be an uphill battle for him to contain his man. So I think that the trade-off is maybe looking elsewhere. That's when you go into more defense. You look at Josh Okogie, you look at Bol Bol's length. There are other opportunities there. But then on the offense, that contains your spacing even further. And we saw how Minnesota did against the Suns' maximum spacing game one. They were amazing. So Grayson is integral to this team. I know he did not play well, but, guys, that's been the barometer for the team all year. If Grayson's not getting up shots and they're not figuring out a way to get him the ball, because that means that the ball isn't moving. That means that their movement isn't on point off the ball. They need him to get up shots, and they need him in the lineup. But even if he is in the lineup, we know how rolled ankles are. It's going to affect his movement, and he's taking some big defensive assignments. Mike Conley was shot 2 of 12, but it was not because of the defense on him. He was getting good looks. And just keeping an eye on Grayson, whether he plays or not, is going to be a huge factor in the rest of this series now.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of names, and Vinny and I talked about J.O., and maybe might there be a role for him in this series at some point, and then the Bol Bol thing. It seems to have been, he's in and out, and no one knows quite whether he's rotational or not. At what point in time do you start looking to making those kind of adjustments where you're bringing in different people entirely than your game plan might have started out with?
Oh man, I don't know. I think it's a little too early right now. Mm-hmm. I know that the Eubanks minutes drive people crazy, but watching the game back, and as someone who has been very critical of him, I thought that he did a fine job. They need his aggressive defensive coverages against Anthony Edwards, and they played those for the most part. In that game, they weren't all out trapping him, but they were playing pretty high to the level of the screen, and Eubanks does that often, and he does it better than anyone else on the team just because of the way he can move his feet. He did have a couple of mistakes. With that being said, I didn't really think that there was an opening elsewhere on the rotation. Gordon didn't knock down shots, but again, if you just take him out and you give those minutes entirely to Okogie or give them to Bol, your spacing is going to take a huge hit, and then it's going to just – Minnesota is the best team in the league. Like, they're going to be like, okay, Bol Bol can shoot 7 threes tonight then if you guys want, and they'll make that happen. So I don't think we're there yet, but if the Suns continue to struggle on the glass specifically, I think that's where they need to look to add more size, and that's where we could see more Bol. But outside of that, we're nowhere near where we were last year, where we were yelling at the sky, like, play Terrence Ross, play TJ Warren. We're not there yet, I don't think.
Yeah, Callan, great stuff. And we will point people to your Twitter specifically for the update on Grayson Allen, and we'll cross our fingers.
Thank you, KO.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Callan Olson, checking in from Minneapolis, covering the Suns Timberwolves series. He joined us on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, the second half of the Monday show gets underway in style with the Bickley Blast.
Fire.
Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.